right. Good evening, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is February 14th, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Oh, dear God.
yeah. 2012, and we are at 5:34 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:34 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Alex Steinberg from New York has requested an excused absence from this meeting due to illness in his family. So if you could record that for the record, our Paul. And other than that, I think that will do it. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA. I'm the 2011 chair of the Finance Committee. And our Paul Martin from WBAI is our secretary. If you could call the roll.
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
LeVarn Williams. Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, terrific. Okay, so before we get going with the agenda, I'm just going to do a quick update on the committee. Hello?
Hi.
Who joined us?
LeVarn.
Great, hi. So before we get going with the agenda and the minutes, I'm just going to do a quick update on the committee turnover stuff for 2012 because I know it's confusing. It's confusing for folks on the PNB. It's more confusing for folks not on the PNB. And if anybody's listening, it's going to be 300 times more confusing. So very quickly, the reason that the elections for the Finance Committee did not proceed in Los Angeles is that an issue was brought up regarding the other committees, not the Finance Committee, and whether or not more than one person from the PNB from each station could be on each committee. We have somewhat contradictory language in our bylaws. At the moment, the issue is kind of unresolved. There was a motion and then a motion to reconsider the motion, so we're going to have to do some more talking about it on the 29th. So until then, it's a little unclear who's on what committee and whether or not elections have to be done if two people from one station wish to be on the committee. In the case of the Finance Committee, we are in the bylaw specifically restricted to one PNB member per station. So we have some elections to do, certainly in, I think, Houston and Berkeley are the two that I'm sure of, and there may be other stations where more than one member volunteered. We'll have to see. But we need to have those elections, and until we do, we're not formally seating the 2012 committee because we don't know who it's going to be. That should be done, I presume, on the 29th. We would at least get the process started, and then we would have those elections probably by email, and then the results would be announced, and then the 2012 committee would be formally seated, and then we would go through the process of picking a finance committee chair. So until all of that happens, which is probably at least another 2 to 3 weeks minimum, and it might be longer than that, we will kind of continue on with the status quo. So does that make sense, and does anybody have any questions or comments?
Objection, point of order.
Okay, yes, Campbell.
Yes. You had indicated that there's some ambiguity in regard to settling this matter, and I believe that from my hearing of general counsel and my reading of what the counsel wrote, he is clear that there can be there's no limitation with regard to membership on committees, and specifically finance committee was referenced, and he to my reading was absolutely crystal clear on that. So I'm forming an objection. If there's anybody who was supposed to be added to the committee, you mentioned Texas, I believe, and Berkeley, I think that they should be, for the time being, seated, certainly until some other action takes place.
Hi, Campbell. No, I'm sorry. For as a matter of record, that's incorrect. The Finance Committee is specifically referenced in the bylaws, and I will read you the clause as being restricted to one member, to one member per station, and Mr. Gold confirmed that, as did the PNB as a whole. So that's not correct. I will go ahead and read you the clause in the bylaws that specifically restricts the Finance Committee. Arlene, you wanted to speak?
I was just going to say that I've discussed that with Andy, and he's well aware that the Finance Committee is treated differently in the bylaws, and he has said that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We confirmed that at the PNB meeting. It was not ambivalent in any way, shape, or form. So until the elections are done for any contested seats, basically the incumbents will carry on. And hopefully we'll get that going on the 29th. I certainly intend to press for that. Campbell, please try to be professional in your dealings with people and with the committee.
Excuse me, I don't need your admonitions.
I don't need your attitude. You can disagree as you wish, but this is how the committee is proceeding. Are there any other comments or questions besides those from Mr. Johnson, which have been heard?
Have we gotten to the agenda yet?
No, that will be the next thing if we're done with this.
Okay.
Do people want me to read the bylaws stuff for the stream or not? All right. Well, it'll just take a second, so let me go ahead and do it.
This is Ken.
I recommend
you
read the bylaws to clarify it for the people listening on the stream.
Okay, Ken. I will do that. And, Kim, did you want to say something in the meantime? I've got the bylaws open, so it'll just take a second to find it. In the committee section. Okay, well, just give me a second to flip this up, and I will read the section that differentiates the Finance Committee.
Can I make a point of order also? Maybe that'll
clarify. Why not?
The bylaws also call for the PNB to approve the directors on the committees. We haven't done that yet, for sure, regardless of how this other issue is.
Correct, right. Right, and until we do that, nothing is formal. Okay. The Finance Committee, which shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval and shall monitor and report foundation financial activities at least quarterly and shall include as members the chief financial officer, a director from each radio station area, and the treasurers of each local station board. That is in Section 2... Article 8. So that's clear. Okay, so getting back to where we were, we do need to approve the agenda. Let me read it out loud for those of you who may not have received it on email. It asks us to approve the pending open session minutes, item 1, to set up a 2012 meeting schedule, which, of course, can be changed once the 2012 board is seated. I'm sorry, the 2012 committee is seated, but it would be a tentative recommendation. We would be reserving space. And since the majority of the committee is not going to turn over, certainly all the LSP treasurers are set, and I think a number of the stations already have their reps here because they're going to be continuing on, we should be able to schedule. The next item is to schedule our first quarter budget to actuals. Which we should do for each of the five stations. I thought we'd do a brief review of our timeline document for this year's budget process, and then we will be reviewing the confidentiality lapse that we discussed on email. And the idea, the timeline for that is about a 75-minute meeting, which should, if things go well, have us off the phone around 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Our call.
Yes.
Item number 3 is approve agenda, and since we're going to have to do that before we can get to even item number 1, could I suggest we just take that out because it's redundant?
Of course. Please do.
Can I add something that maybe we could just go around and update on, get a little report on the local fund drive?
Sure. I don't see why not. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, none of us have really exact data, but just a little.
Shall we put that let's see, after we schedule the first quarter budget to actuals and before we talk about the timeline?
Oh, I think before that, because the rest of the stuff.
Okay, where do you want to put it? Where
I don't know.
Where are you suggesting putting it?
I'm not looking at it so early, just because it's not. It's
okay.
Not casual and not.
Okay. Right after we schedule the meetings for next year.
Okay, whatever.
That'll be like first up, yeah. Okay, or Paul, can you go ahead and incorporate that suggestion?
Okay, where exactly is that going?
We're putting it between items schedule 2012.
4A.
Meetings right after that, yep.
4A, okay.
Yeah, except that 4A is probably now 3A because you got rid of 3. Whichever way you want to do that. So whichever way I want to do that. Okay, are there any other modifications to the agenda?
It's Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Well, at the last meeting, we decided to postpone consideration of the on-air fundraiser receipts, how they're credited.
Yes, we did.
You know, if more
that's
than one person is involved.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's particularly urgent, but... if we need to talk about it tonight, we need to put it on the agenda somewhere.
Okay. Ken, that was kind of postponed on your lack of preparation because it was an old item and it just sort of came up.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
It was the thing about handling fund drive receipts in a standardized way when programs play on more than one station motion thing.
No, I think we have to pen that. It's something we have to work out with National.
Okay, yeah.
So I would pen that.
Okay, so Bill, it sounds like the maker of the motion wants to sort of keep it on postponed status.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. But thank you for remembering. I appreciate that. Anybody else have any modifications?
You reminded me.
Yeah, no, it was good of you not to let it drop. And we won't let it drop, but not quite yet. Okay. Then would someone put forward a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Thank you. Any objections? Done. All right. Then we will move on to scheduling our 2012 meeting. So as everyone knows, we have a pattern of the second and the fourth Tuesday. It seems to work. We never miss quorum. Everybody shows up. So if it's not too daring, I'm going to suggest that we might want to keep meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month with the proviso that during budget time we meet as often as we have to, and that is out of control and will probably always be a bit out of control. But under normal circumstances, that we meet twice a month on the second and fourth Tuesday would be my motion. Anybody want to discuss, comment? Amend.
No, I second it, and I'd like to just approve it. I mean, I was advised not to change my local finance committee meeting because, you know, going through the national grid is just like a nightmare. So, like, it's working. Let's just, you know, make our life easier.
Are there any bad second and fourth Tuesdays?
I can go and check. I don't think so. I think that if we don't snatch them, it is likely that there will be momentarily, which is why I put this on the agenda.
Generally around Christmas it gets dicey or Thanksgiving, but
yeah.
Then we figure it out when we get closer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any rule that we can't cancel a meeting because we passed a motion that we would meet on second and fourth Tuesdays. I mean, you know, we can break our own rules.
Christmas is a fourth Tuesday.
Okay, so it's likely that we won't meet then. I mean, I'm pretty optimistic about that, but I don't think that prevents us from passing this motion, and it looks like it's pretty clean all year long, but of course, as you know, things fill up fast, so I think if we leave them vacant, we will come to regret it.
Yeah, no, I agree, and, you know, I think last year we kind of took a few days off in December because we worked so hard around the budgets.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can get Christmas Day off. What do you know?
I think you might have some support for that down the line.
I would support Isaac Newton's birthday off.
Yeah.
Which is what day?
December 25th. That's what we celebrate every year, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. Sorry. Okay. I'm not hearing anyone speaking against this. So can I assume we have no objections? Oh, my God, this is great.
Oh,
okay.
What a glorious sound that is.
That's terrific. Okay, so that is what we'll do. And as your outgoing chair, I will go ahead and plop all of that into KPFTX. So it's just there, and nobody will take our dates. And we will keep doing that unless and until somebody suggests something different. Okay, so that brings us to brief, shall we say, what's the word? Bulletins from each station about how the fund drives are going.
Point of order?
Yes.
Actually, number two, which we've skipped, is approved.
Oh, all right. Sorry. Our Paul is correct. We have some minutes to approve, so I will hand the meeting over to him to take us through this. Apologies.
So how do we want to do it? What do we want to do? Do we want to read the whole thing out? Do we want to just say it's there? I mean,
I did my homework. I read them.
Do not read. No, I do not believe that we read the whole thing out. I think that you state for the record the dates of the minutes that we are approving.
Okay.
And then we ask if there are any comments or changes or modifications, and then we proceed.
Okay. It's the draft minutes of the meeting of January 24th, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Open session.
Open session, yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone who objects to those minutes or wants to make any modification? Well, let's not say object, because you don't really object to minutes, but is there anyone who wants to make any changes or modifications to that draft?
This Bill, I had a real minor correction. Sorry, I didn't email it to you. Under that motion from me to postpone consideration, at the bottom of the first page, the word two is misspelled, but that's all.
Oh, it's
okay.
TP, yes. Okay, yeah.
All right. So you have consent on fixing that?
Okay.
Anybody else? All right. Kim, you wanted to make a motion to approve as amended?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Any objections to approving these minutes as amended? Okay, they're approved. And I don't think we have any others. Is that correct, Arpal? I know we've got some backup on the closed session, but not on the open, right?
That's the only open session, and there's only one closed session, which is the last
closed session. Okay, great, good. So we're on top of things.
Can we go ahead and put the executive session one if there's no corrections needed?
We have to do that in closed, which we are not in.
Okay.
Is my understanding of the protocol that we can't really bring it up.
Well, if everybody just says okay, you can just say we pass it. However, if people want to discuss it, then it has to be in executive session.
Right.
It is possible to approve executive session minutes from open session by not discussing them.
If everybody promises not to discuss it. Well, since we only have one, I'm not sure that it's the end of the world if it waits until the next closed. But that said, is there anyone who feels that they wouldn't be able to approve those minutes without having some sort of discussion? I mean, if everyone knows that they're 100% not objecting, I guess it's okay.
Has ARPAL posted them?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
But it sounds like not everyone has read them, and I don't think we should ask people to approve minutes without objections, without reading them.
I agree.
Okay. Then I am going to suggest that since we're not criminally backed up, that we just wait till the next closed to approve them, which will probably be, if not tonight, in 2 weeks. So it shouldn't be the end of the world. Is that okay?
Sounds fine.
Sounds good.
All right. All right, so that was nice and easy. Good. And I'm glad that we're on time with the minutes. And I will go post the open ones to KPFTX. I think they're done through about November or something, so I need to do a chunk of them.
This is Ken with a point of information.
Yes.
You made a statement where you said, as outgoing secretary, wouldn't you be the chair of this committee until another chair is elected?
Yes, if I said as outgoing secretary, I meant outgoing chair.
I'm sorry, you meant outgoing chair.
Yes, I am the incumbent chair, and until a new one is elected, there is no other chair that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
So that is how it will be. Hopefully that will get done fairly soon. But again, we have to do the elections for the seats, and then those members will vote on the chair, and I don't know if it will be contested or not contested. We'll have to see. Okay, so we are moving on to the fund drive summaries that Kim added to the agenda. Let's try to keep it to 2 or 3 minutes per station. So we hopefully get through the whole item in about 15 minutes. And I guess, Kim, since it was your agenda item, you can go first, and then we'll work our way around the other stations. And I presume that the LSB treasurer will basically give the quick summary, and then if the PNB member associated with that station wants to add something, they can do so.
Well, okay.
You're up, Kim.
Yeah, all I can say is it's been going from average to under average. And everybody sounds really tired, and it's...
What are the numbers at the moment, the dailies? And
from like 35 to about 25.
Mm-hmm. And what are you up to in terms of your overall goal and how many days left and that kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Mm.
We were, I guess I was there Sunday evening. At that point, we were like 40,000 below the goal.
Okay.
And Monday was not a good day, so that's what I know about that. I mean, this was sort of spontaneous, so I didn't get any figures today. How many days? I think they're booked for 3 weeks, so,
mm-hmm.
You know.
21, yeah, or so, yeah.
First week of a long slog, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Arlene on KPFK.
Okay, just wait a second and let me see if there's anything else from Kim or Ken, and I'll go right to you. So,
hey,
Kim?
I would make a brief comment to when I've been listening into the fundraising. They're,
mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
They're repeating the pitch on a very similar, essentially at least 60% of the premiums are the same ones we've used in previous fund drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ramati, Gary Knoll, certain Gary Knoll pitches, I think one new Gary Knoll pitch. But
mm-hmm.
it seems to be pulled off the shelf, similar
yeah.
things, except the music premiums, of course, are fresh and new. And
mm-hmm.
I was listening to an afternoon music show, Maggie LaPeak, and she came close to meeting her goal, and that was with new premiums.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Arlene, you wanted to make a comment?
I was just going to say that the figures that I had yesterday showed that they were averaging 32,000 a day, and then there was an additional, I believe, 8,000 in web pledges that hadn't been included. And I was
mm-hmm.
told that there were two shows that had not been included yet, and I don't know what shows they were, but there was the hope that that would be increasing it by about $3,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think one show is Mitch's and one is the KPFA News. And
that may be what they are, and so I don't think it'll be 3,000. But anyway,
no.
But the average through Sunday was 32,000 a day plus the 8,000, I believe it was 8,000 in web pledges.
In web. Okay, well, thanks for that update. That helps to contextualize the numbers. Good. Okay. Shall we move on to the next station? And the next station is, let's see, Houston. What about Houston? Could we do Houston?
Yeah, this is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
We finished, I think it was 17 days, finishing on Sunday.
Wow.
And came in, we were 300,000. Analysis and news programs were a little bit slow, but
yeah, Bill.
We finished. We got 88% of the goal, which is, as Jim says, about typical what we've been doing the last few times. Not wonderful, but and the last 4 days were real strong. That's typical of our drives. But actually, they may have done even a little better than usual. I think the main effect on Fund Drive that Lightning had is it took a lot of staff time away from concentrating on Fund Drive. But, you know, all the pitching and everything continued, and so we were a little, for Amy, the first couple of days after the Lightning strike, for Amy, we didn't have a very good connection because it knocked out our ISDN line. But, you know, she was able to pitch each day, though, and so I'm not sure it had a major effect on it. We're still, it's going to have a little bit more cost, though, because we have, I believe, a $5,000 deductible on our insurance, and we're still trying to determine what all the total costs are going to be because not everything's been fixed yet. But it'll probably be more than that.
I'm having great difficulty understanding what he's saying.
This is Ken to the back.
Okay, personally, it sounds okay to me. Bill, can you do whatever you can to improve the sound quality for some people it's not working.
I can call back on my cell if you want. I'm on Skype right now, or I can speak slower.
There you go.
We got about 88% of our goal for the fund drive, and the Lightning did not affect the fund drive directly too much, except it took a lot of staff time away from other things like fund drive. We don't know exactly yet what it's going to cost. We have a $5,000 deductible. It'll probably cost more than that to get everything fixed.
Ken to the stack.
Yes, that's a
Arlene
summary.
To the stack.
Okay. Ken, you're up, and then Arlene, and then and then we'll make our way around. We'll continue making our way around the horn.
Is my question a question and then a suggestion? Is the fund drive still going on?
No.
Okay. Well, anyhow, on a suggestion, I suggest you do a news report about it and a special appeal, maybe by the GM or something. Take advantage of the calamity and try and get additional support from the community, because that's exciting, especially if you're the only facility in the area that was struck by lightning. It's a news item. And
that actually makes me laugh, yeah.
And it's good. It's a good button to push for more donations. You know, if the fund drive's over, well, maybe you can't do that, but I don't know, maybe you can add a day. I don't know how long it's been out. But, you know, it's great. It's great. Somebody got mad at what you're broadcasting and hit you with lightning. I mean, you know, have somebody work up a report and see if you can spend it on a fund drive. That's all.
Thank you, Ken. Arlene?
Actually, Ken's idea is very good, and I'll take that up with Duane tomorrow. Also, I just wanted to confirm, you know, that's the insurance on these things is part of what your
almost always in our on-air. Oh, I'm going to get echo.
Yes, you are.
1-1-1. No, I'm still getting. You know, 14 days into it. I do not have the latest figures, but the figures I have from earlier in a thon, we were doing about 26, 27 a day. And this on-air fundraiser is going the way we've had them go in the past, where most of the programs are airing the first 2 weeks.
The potato chip thing is interfering a lot.
Somebody's crinkling something. Okay.
And chewing potato chips.
Well, actually, I can't hear, but I hear that crinkling of that. All right, they stop. Anyway, what's happening is we seem to be doing stuff the way we have done it in the past number of thons, which is the first couple of weeks, the programs pretty much are there pitching. And then after that, for the remaining whole bunch of weeks, a lot of preemptions happen. And so we get a lot of the reruns of what people think may raise money. And so this stuff is going to go on. We're not yet halfway through the thon. It's been going, as I say, today is the 14th day of it. And so we're not yet halfway through it, and we'll see how this one goes. We have a lot of preemptions and schedule rearrangements in the future here. So, the figures from last week were about 26, 27 a day. But I don't have the very latest figures.
Arlene, to the staff.
Okay, let's see. Alex isn't here, so yeah, we're up to the stack. So, Arlene, go ahead.
Okay, as of Sunday, they were averaging 28,000, a little over 28,300 a day.
Cool.
And we're running just slightly ahead of the goal. You know, I find interesting what our Paul was saying about the pattern in terms of retreads in the second half. It'll be very interesting to watch what happens. But that's a report that I was getting as of even today, although I didn't get new figures and a new average today. The last figures I had were as of Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Anybody else? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't have specifics about the daily rates, but this afternoon I heard that we were at 390,000 for toward the complete goal of 800,000. So it's been a little more than half the drive, and we're a little under half the expected income. That's all I have.
Okay. I think I heard the averages were in the vicinity of about $32,000 a day, but that was a couple days ago, so I don't know if it's moved up or moved down. But I think we're scheduled to go through the 23rd. So let's see. Today's the 14th, so that would mean there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more days. So in theory, we should be close but a little short. Unless we have a surge at the end, so we'll have to see how that goes. But I don't have anything else to add. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
So Berkeley doesn't preempt stuff. They pretty much just pitch their regular programming.
No, they preempt things.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Mixed. They do both.
Uh-huh. What kind of stuff do they preempt for? What do they put in its place?
Well, as I said, I don't have a complete report now, but I can answer that question next time.
No, presumably you've been listening in the last year.
I don't listen all day, yeah.
Arlene?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tracy for this, but Arlene, go ahead.
My understanding of this drive was that all programmers were expected to pitch their own show at least the first week, and many of them the first two, and then there'd be some preemptions, and I think that preemption, and generally speaking, at least the public affairs programs, when there's a preemption, it's usually a speech or perhaps one of the events that's been in Berkeley, something like that, that's brought as the substitute.
Yes, that's my understanding as well. Any other questions? Okay, then I think we are ready to move the agenda, and we will be going into scheduling sort of first quarter budget to actual summaries. As we know, those numbers went out November 15th, so we've
had time to review them and have, in most cases, done first quarter budget to actual reports at their LSBs in January or February, one would hope. So normally what we do is we do those over two meetings, generally three on one week and three the other week. So I'm hoping that we can go ahead and ready to do that on the 28th, or would you prefer to do it on the second Tuesday in March? And you kind of have to half and half split.
I'm ready.
Okay, so it sounds like we have Kim for the 28th.
Okay, this is for the first quarter of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we KPFT can do it.
Okay, so we have Jim for the 28th.
This is Marcus. I'll pick the latter date.
Okay, we have Marcus for, let me look at a calendar, whatever the heck the second Tuesday is in March.
Yeah.
March 13th.
March 13th, so we have Marcus on March 13th.
Put WBAI in for March 13th, too.
Okay. Barbara, well, you can have it.
And KPFA.
Four. Which one? The 13th?
Yeah, I suppose I could have it by the 28th, but you're going to have an uneven number, right? So I don't know. Where do you want
Well, we will put the National Office Archives on whichever day you don't pick. So if you want them to decide, LaVarne could make the decision for us, because it'll be three and three probably either way.
Mm-hmm. When
so,
LaVarne? 28th.
Yes.
Okay. So, we'll do a sort of a first quarter National Office Archives review on the 13th of March.
That's fine. Or earlier, either date.
Okay. Well, Barbara volunteered for the 28th, so I think we can put it on the 13th. I think 3 and 3 makes sense. It's hard to listen to more than three of those in a row.
That's fine.
I think people's brains start to explode. Okay. So, we're scheduled. R. Paul, have you got the breakup for who's when?
No, I don't. Could you repeat all of them?
Yes. On the 28th, we have Kim from L.A., Jim for Houston, and Barbara for KPFA. And then at the meeting on March 13th, we have LaVarne doing Nationals and Archives, Marcus doing WPFW, and the one I'm forgetting.
Me.
WBAI.
And you. I forgot you because I was talking to you. And our Paul doing WBAI. So that's how we'll schedule that.
Okay, got it.
Okay, thanks. That was nice and easy. All right, next item is the budgetary timeline, which we passed last year as a standing motion. So we will be probably going through the budgetary process in a similar manner. There is a copy of it available on our Yahoo groups, but I think people, except for Marcus, pretty much remember the process and how it worked. It was more or less successful. We got the budgets done on time. That did involve a kind of miserable first 2 weeks of September, which people probably remember. but I don't know if there's any timeline on Earth that can avoid a certain amount of craziness.
Ooh.
Ouch. Right before budgets are due. However, if there is a substantive change to the timeline that someone wants to propose, I think that's something that as a committee we can agree to. I know I've already heard, you know, can channel some feedback that we were a little too generous with the optional extensions, and I agree. And I think that as a committee we can be a little more hard-assed about that. It may have to be. But that is not really a change in the timeline itself. That's a change in how we apply the timeline, because the timeline gives us discretion to offer extensions. And if we want to offer less, and if we want to exercise less discretion in that, then that's simply something that we agree to do as a committee. So if there's any other feedback, or if there's any, suggestions that certain dates were wildly unrealistic and we might want to move them up or down, we can entertain those at the time. We're not going to take any action unless some specific change is indicated. Otherwise, I think we'll just record in the minutes that we reviewed the timeline and we're moving on. So it's open for discussion.
Bill?
There is no discussion, no. Hi, Bill.
I don't have any necessary need to change the timeline, but you're right. I think we need to impress on all the stations that we need to stick with it. And we got ourselves in trouble again and created a huge amount of work for us in September by giving stations more time, and they still didn't get that much more done. So, if we can't do all the stations on the first meeting in August, but we can't give extension to all of them or we'll end up in a mess again. And, you know, we didn't get the national office approved till October, and it was because we didn't get all the other stations done early enough. So we just need to get more serious about the deadlines.
Kim to the stack.
Yeah, that's sort of the default criticism, and I agree. Kim, okay, you're up.
I mean, I can only say that, you know, we had, you know, the new GM issue, and we shouldn't have that this year.
Right. There were reasons, and, you know, I'm not backseat driving and saying even that we screwed up. I'm just saying that that's the criticism that I heard, and that doesn't involve changing the timeline. That just involves not being so wimpy when we get asked for waivers. Any other comments, discussions?
No, not for me.
Okay, well, that's nice and easy. Okay, then I think our poll of the minute should record that we reviewed the timeline, expressed a mutual commitment to enforce deadlines.
This is Ken with an afterthought.
And that is all. Yes, Ken.
I'm not sure that this really relates to the timeline, but I think it would be appropriate that we verify the fulfillment rates when we make the estimates and not, you know, because we have to watch that carefully because we're considering that we're going to get a certain amount of income. It's speculative. So if we observe as we go through the year that our fulfillments are less than anticipated, they should be corrected. I don't know if that really fits in the timeline discussion, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point, and it doesn't quite go there. It does go in a discussion of sort of the budgetary parameters, which is part of the timeline. And we're going to start, you know, working according to that timeline come March. As I recall, there are things that we're supposed to be doing as early as March to get the budgets in by August. So, yeah, so we'll kind of kick it over there, and I think it's appropriate to bring up in the sort of budgetary parameters conversation.
Okay, so I'll bring it up then. Thank you.
Yeah, which I think will start in March. I mean, we're going to try to get these reviews done, but after that, it's pretty much into the budgets.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so that brings us to our last item, which is a discussion of confidentiality and NFC closed sessions. And
where we need to go in terms of repairing something that, that happened and, you know, making sure that we have an environment here where we can get the work done that we need to get done. Just to be clear, on January 24th, I think it was, and Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you brought up a situation that you wanted to discuss in closed session, and we did, in fact, go into closed session and have that discussion, which I thought was appropriate, and you did that in your capacity as the treasurer for the KPFT LSB. On January, what the heck is the date? On January 27th at the national board meeting, it became clear to me that the treasurer of the KPFA LSB had communicated basically the contents of that closed session discussion, including a direct quote from the executive director and some details regarding the transactions that Jim had asked us to discuss to a number of individuals, which included CWA staff representatives at KPFA, and board members and, you know, a number of individuals that would not generally be privy to the details of NFC closed sessions. The union representatives were particularly of concern to me because, of course, it's the role of the executive director to communicate directly with the CWA and not, you know, there shouldn't be intermediaries. We did have some brief conversation over the email regarding this, and I believe the sending of the email was acknowledged, although we don't have a list of the recipients, so I can only tell you what my observations are about the list of recipients. What my concern is here is how we sort of reestablish a common understanding of confidentiality and that we address the problem so that it does not recur again and we can all go into closed session, with a certain amount of at least basic mutual respect and also with the ability to discuss pressing financial matters when we need to discuss them. I would also say that the rationale that we received that had to do with editing content for a newsletter that some of the KPFA LSB sends out to some private mailing list is somewhat inappropriate for the National Finance Committee, which is not providing content for newsletters. And we need to, we need to establish that when we are performing as LSB treasurers, that we are performing our actions on behalf of the foundation, and not on behalf of political factions on local station boards. And that certainly the contents of the National Finance Committee, if they are not streamed publicly as they are not fodder for newsletters. So I guess with that, I'm going to kind of put it out for discussion. What I am trying to establish by having this conversation and the reason that we are having it in open session is that obviously LSB treasurers are elected by their LSBs. In most cases, they are also individuals elected by the listeners. That's not the case at KPFA this year, but even so, they are elected by the people who were each elected by the listeners. So our seats here are all earned democratically, and that's important. So we need to coexist together, and we need to be able to do the business of the foundation in a serious and a coherent way. So I think going through a process where we reestablish what the ground rules are regarding confidentiality and regarding how we work together is probably what we need to do here as a result of this breach. So that's the spirit in which I'm offering this. I'm hoping that we can continue this conversation in open session since it is very much more about how we work together and what the meaning is of confidentiality than it is about the specific incident in question. But if we can't, then certainly I'm willing to entertain the group wishing to move into closed, and we can do so. And I'll stop there.
Bill.
And you're all stunned into silence. okay, Bill, you're up.
I'll just give an example. The simpling, you know, it happened at KPFT last year. One of our local board members refused to sign the confidentiality agreement, seemed to feel that everything we talk about should be public. And so as a result, we weren't able to, and wasn't willing to leave the room when we talked about certain things. So as a result, we weren't able to talk about some of the confidential matters at the board meeting. So that's the kind of problem you can get into. Now, since then, she has agreed to sign it, and I think she understands better why confidentiality is needed. But, you know, if we're not comfortable knowing that things we discuss in executive session will remain confidential, then people aren't going to discuss it, and that could really interfere with us getting our work done.
Anybody else?
Well, I'll go to the stack. Okay, Ken.
Okay, Ken.
I could talk for an hour to a half or 2 hours about the rights of groups and individuals and the necessity for privacy or confidentiality. That's not the issue. The issue is it's covered in the bylaws, and it's covered in the California Corporation Code, and it's normal practice, and it isn't relegated to the individuals in the in the confidential sessions or closed sessions to determine on their own discretion what is or isn't confidential in the meeting. It just isn't. Because, you know, everybody's going to have a different opinion about that and different judgment. So it's just the executive session is held, there's an agreement about what will be reported out, and that's it. Done deal. Otherwise, we can't conduct business, and our right to privacy in that association is violated. And most importantly, it's detrimental to the foundation, to the body on which we sit as board members. That's the number one issue. I'm not denying anybody the right to belong to any association. You can belong to Skull and Bones, Opus Dei, the American Bund Party, anything you want. You know, Catholics for New America, any organization you want to agree, because we have in this country freedom of association. However, as a board member, your actions are restricted to be for the betterment or for the best interests of the foundation or the body on which you're sitting on the board of. And that's in the California Corporation Code. So I don't speak in public in any way that I would consider detrimental to the foundation. That's just a requirement. If somebody doesn't want to live with that, then I think it's very appropriate that they say, I resign because I no longer can comport myself with the actions of this organization, and I want to go public. So you resign and you go public. And I've done that in organizations myself. But if you're on the board, you are bound, you are restricted to act only in the best interest of the foundation. And part of that is maintaining confidentiality. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm done.
Okay. I think Campbell's next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that a little bit of clarification needs to be made on that in terms of what was talked about and so far as acting on the best interest of the foundation. That's absolutely true. This is covered under two of the duties of a director, which are duty of loyalty and duty of care. And loyalty is what Ken was referring to. There are three areas under which confidentiality is permitted, and one is where personnel issues are discussed, where contractual negotiations are discussed, or competitive issues are discussed. Now, one thing that I think is important in regard to these particular items, if it should occur that someone learns the same information that was engaged in a, let's say, executive session from someone outside of that, then the confidentiality is something that cannot be enforced. But I think that those several points as to what the things are that can be kept confidential, you just can't, as you decide, you know, as one would decide, say that these things must be kept confidential. No, that isn't the way it goes. And also, if the information is somehow available to an individual outside of that confidentiality, then there's no enforcement of confidentiality. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Also, for stack.
Point of information. Point of information.
Okay, just a second, Laverne. Our Paul is next on the stack. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about if you hear the information elsewhere is a very easy thing to have turn into a slippery slope. You could get some details of stuff in a confidential meeting, and you hear a whole bunch of details, and then you may hear some snippet of something related to it outside. You can't then really get into a conversation. I mean, the point at that point is you can't discuss this. Period. Even if other people are coming up with some of the information, you simply can't discuss it, because the second you get into it, whether you realize it or not, you are probably going to add information that people did not have, even by the fact that you simply can discuss it in some way. Some people will dislike this particular reference, but there are things called security clearances in the United States of America, and if you have ever had one in your life, you can't talk about that stuff. And you can't have a conversation about that stuff. For some of us, it's like 44 years later, we can't talk about stuff from the 60s. So it's, and that's really like, you know, they're very serious about that. And other things are like that as well. You, if somebody brings something up, it's very difficult to say that, yeah, you can discuss that part that they're bringing up, and you can do that without breaching confidentiality, because simply by saying, oh, well, blah, 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 you're saying, you're confirming some of it. First of all, you're confirming whatever they're saying, to a degree at least, and second of all, you are probably going to add more information to it. So really, the term should be, sorry, we can't discuss that, for just about everything that's in there, and just say, geez, this doesn't feel good, but that's life. Okay.
Kim to the stack.
Okay. Okay, hold on a second. Whoever is making a lot of noise in the background, please mute your phone. It's frustrating. Laverne had a point of information, so I am going to go to her. Then I will go to Bill, then Kim.
Thank you, Tracy. You made my point of information. If whoever's chopping onions, I wish you would stop.
Okay. Thank you. Bill, you're next.
Same for me. Thanks.
Okay. Kim, you're up.
I guess I just want to say that this situation doesn't appear accidental. I mean, it appears to be an intentional breach in order to, you know, post some stuff that is unflattering to Pacifica. And that seems the issue. It wasn't accidental.
Ken, back to the stack.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's let this discussion kind of run its course, and then again, I would like to, you know, push us towards, as a group, coming up with a common definition of confidentiality.
Campbell,
that seems to be what the issue is. Okay, Campbell, wait a second. Ken is on the stack before you. Ken, go ahead.
Okay. As this has occurred, this event occurred, And the discovery of this breach was accidental. And I cannot, with my personal experience in life, assume that this was the only event that occurred. It's just that this event happened to have been discovered because of a lack of discretion. So an email was viewed in a public area.
So I can't assume that, oh, that must have been the only time. Well, glad we picked it up. So I can have no confidence. As far as I can tell, we have an open sieve to our closed sessions. And it's just something, we happen to see something that leaked out. So that's the other consideration. So, I mean, it's sort of like if somebody would say, well, I won't do it again, I have no confidence in that because I don't know how many times it was done, and I don't know who it was communicated to. And I, as far as I know at this point, the communication line goes to people who would have to be considered at some level, not adversarial, but someone who we have the right to maintain non-disclosure to, unions. When we're negotiating, when the management and governance is dealing with unions, there's a contractual negotiations, there's two sides. It doesn't mean we're opposed to unions or anything, but we're not obliged to reveal to unions our strategies or considerations that we deliberate on in executive sessions. And at this point, as far as I can tell, I have no evidence to counter the concept that we have an open wound. And that's my major concern. Not so much that, you know, what was or wasn't leaked, but the idea that there's a channel open and I don't know what's gone on that channel in the past, and that channel goes directly to places it shouldn't go and also to the general public. I mean, that's outrageous, you know. And there's one other thing I will say on the open stream, that when people are involved in a secret activity, I mean, you can say that the executive sessions are secret, but when people are involved in a secret activity of violating confidentiality and more than one or two people are involved, that tends to cause a disassociation from the rest of the members who are not anticipating that. You discover that, somebody's sneaking some cookies out of the jar and sharing them with somebody. Well, those people are involved in a separate association that's operating secretly from the rest of the group. That causes a fission between us. And I really like to work with everybody as openly as we can, regardless of our political differences. So I'm just saying it's real simple. You know, don't talk. And I'm sure we've all of us, have by error disclosed something we shouldn't have. But as Kim said, this was obviously intentional. It's not by error. And, you know, it's to make a good example, if somebody wants to send me the true confessions of all the indiscretions in their life and allow me to decide what I feel is okay to distribute to the public, I don't think they'd be very comfortable with that concept. So in a closed executive session, all the content is confidential. It's not up to the members in that session to decide what falls into the parameters that Campbell brought forward. He's absolutely correct in that. But if the member feels that certain issues should be made public that were discussed in executive session, he should get the agreement of the other people in that session that says, you know, I decided we're going to order a chicken dinner instead of fish, and there's no reason we can't tell the public for that, so we want to release that from confidentiality, and everybody should agree.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be up to the individual to exercise an autonomous point of decision as to what that individual considers is or isn't subject to the boundaries or the restraints of confidentiality. So my main point is, what I'm saying is, this is a point we happen to notice. I don't know what else is going on or what else has gone on. That's my point.
Okay, before I call on Campbell, I'm going to put myself on the stack. Then I'm going to ask respectfully, Barbara, if you would participate in the conversation. Are you willing to do that?
Well, I feel a little strange about the fact that you're talking about all this confidentiality in open stream, and so I don't certainly want to be the one to make it go into executive session.
I just
But there are things that I would like to say, yes. But please,
okay. Go
ahead.
Then we will call on you at the end, and if you feel that you only want to give a statement in closed session, we can certainly move to closed session.
I'm willing to say it in open session. I'm just talking about whether other people are going to decide whether I'm saying something that shouldn't be said.
Well, it is possible that they will if you say something that shouldn't be said. Is it your assessment that you're going to say something in open session?
No idea what you might decide.
Well, I think. I'm sorry that you're so unclear about the difference between.
No,
open
I'm not
and closed
unclear,
session.
Tracy. I'm not unclear.
Well, we'll deal with that when we get to it. Who was interrupting me? I heard somebody saying something.
I was trying to get my opportunity.
Yeah, I know. You're next on the stack, but there was someone else saying something in the background.
It was Kim, and I was saying, look, if it's really a problem, we'll go to closed session. I want to give Barbara the freedom to talk about what she wants, but if she's uncomfortable with these parameters,
what's the point of having a stack?
Just a second, Campbell. You're not going
to
explode waiting a minute.
Or I don't know what that was.
Point of order is what you're doing. We are not going to go on forever, so we need to have a procedure and a structure. I hear what you're saying, Kim, and I think I'm inclined to agree. Campbell, you're up.
So you can have all this discussion around me. The first point I'm going to make is this. None of the people on this call is an attorney. None.
Not true.
We have a general.
I believe Jim Boyd is an attorney.
Correct.
Jim Boyd hasn't said anything.
I'm on the phone call.
He is, however, still an attorney.
Okay. Now, we have a general counsel who, while somebody may be an attorney in different practices of law, et cetera, we have a general counsel who deals specifically with foundation matters, and I don't think that any committee should be going into making any judgments about members and whatnot like that in terms of participation and any accusations and whatnot without these being reviewed with and through the general counsel. Now, I've had the circumstance, shall we say, of having a top-secret U.S. Security clearance, as well as having worked in private sector in very confidential kinds of areas. And I think in each of these, what I had shared with the group insofar as the three areas that are open for confidentiality, personnel, contract negotiations, and competitive issues, and the fact that if something is learned outside of that, then that particular matter is not something that can be held in regards to confidentiality. I think that anyone who is contemplating any kind of action in regard to what may be perceived as some kind of infraction should really bring this up. In fact, I would say that if it's something that's being thought of with regard to this committee, I think that it would be essential for any kind of punitive action or any kind of statements that would be released regarding presumption of some sort of inappropriate or unprofessional conduct should be cleared with the general counsel. And that, I think, is it. I think it's unfortunate the way that this stream call has gone to identify and what, in effect, seems to be an individual and to make some kind of accusations regarding an individual. And, that I think is problematic. And whether or not someone wants to respond to this, it seems as though the individual and that anyone and everyone, and especially someone who's being presumably accused in this regard, should have the benefit of our general counsel in regard to advice on this matter, because the matter clearly refers to foundation business, and I think that I do agree that it's a serious issue, but I think that it should be handled in a fair and professional fashion. Thank you.
Okay, I think I had myself next on the stack, so let me go ahead unless there's anyone who hasn't spoken on this matter that would like to. Jim, you're not going to jump into the attorney role and help us out here? I'm joking. You don't have to. I'm just joking.
I just don't. You know, you zip it. That's what you do. And it bothers me to hear when somebody is in a special session, any special session, you don't confirm what anybody says. You don't say anything. You zip it. And to even have this conversation, I'm just a little appalled. That's all I'm saying. But that's what attorneys do on an ongoing basis is we zip it. We don't talk at cocktail parties. We don't talk at dinner. We zip it.
Yeah.
Please.
I would have
committee zip it.
Yeah. I would have to say my own experience with Pacifica corporate councils is what they most often say to me is shut up. I mean, essentially.
This is
we talk too much around here. But, okay,
yeah,
I have myself on the stack. Yes, you can.
Jim, I just want to say I was a legal secretary, and it was zip it. Don't talk in the elevator. You know nothing. And it's just a professional way to act.
Okay. Well, let me just say a couple of things, and then it may be time to go to closed session, which it sounds like we're going to have to do. The first thing that I want to say is it is a personnel matter that we are discussing. So I think any implications that it's not, that it doesn't fall into a protected category, just need to be dismissed. It is a personnel matter. The second thing that I would say is I don't think we should confuse legal actions with conversations. I think that's something that often happens in Pacifica. Things turn legal very fast. And, you know, our corporate counsel costs money. If that's a direction that we have to go at some point in the future, that's unfortunate, and I hope not. The intent of this conversation, to be clear, is to reestablish what the bounds are of confidentiality so that as a group, hopefully we can go back into closed session group and do our business, a process which has now been interrupted because it seems that we are operating with very different understandings about what is acceptable and what's okay. That is as a functional thing for a committee and a committee that deals with financial information, which is one of the things that, you know, crosses into some of those confidential areas. I mean, it crosses over into contracts, it crosses over into personnel, it crosses into all of the things that you would keep confidential, is a real problem. So what we're talking about here is a functional problem, and what we're trying to do is have a conversation that will bring us all back on the same page so we can go forward. If we're not all on the same page, then we have a problem. So what I'm trying to establish and what we're trying to do on the open stream is establish what the ground rules are, what the parameters are, and if something incorrect was done, establish that it was incorrect and it's not going to happen again. That's where we're going with this, I hope. And that was the intent. If it is the consensus of the committee that we can't go any further than this in open session, then I will email out the closed session number, and we can go forward from there. It sounded like we were heading that way. Does anybody want to propose something different, or shall we go to close?
Well, I would like to make a statement before you do that.
Okay, I thought you said the opposite 5 minutes ago.
No, this is a brief statement, not about the materials that you've been discussing, but about the fact that it's very interesting that your original email that you sent out, Tracy, greatly overstated what was happening, the thing that you observed on someone else's computer. You said that the email you observed provided a very thorough description of the contents of the January 24th closed session of the PNB National Finance Committee. And it in no way did that. And everyone's criticisms that have been voiced now on the stream for the record against what I did has been addressed to this description. You've over-described what happened, and I It's a little hard to see how I can defend myself against all of you now that you're singing in the chorus here. And that's all I want to say for the open stream and record at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, I will go ahead and clarify based on the email response that you gave to the group on February 6th. In the interest of fairness, I believe it said, on the matter of confidentiality, I must say that since many people knew of the matter, the editor wanted to put something about this occurrence in the Save KPFA newsletter. I did not reveal to anybody the specifics of the matter, which was already known without any input from me. As a member of the group which contributes editorial review for such newsletters, I made a brief statement giving basic facts and my advice about the matter. That's what you said in your own words, so I will reiterate that for the stream. And that's what we are discussing. At this point, is there anything else anybody wants to say in open session, or shall we go to closed?
Campbell Johnson.
Yes, Campbell.
Ken, with just a point of information. When is the next NFC meeting?
The next NFC meeting will be on February 28th, 2 weeks from today.
Okay, thank you.
And if we need to, if we are unable to resolve the matter one way or the other in closed session, we will carry it over to the 28th, but I hope that we won't have to. Okay, I've got the closed session number ready to email. Is there anyone who doesn't have our regular closed session code? Should I assume I have to email this?
Is that what you're using?
Yeah, it's the regular
it's
one.
The
I have it.
Same as our regular code, but I know I didn't have it, so I'm guessing some of you. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and send it out. Marcus, do you have it? Or because you sometimes
I have an email. Yeah, I have it.
Okay,
you sent an email a day or two ago with it.
I did. Okay, well, I'll send it out again just in case. And okay, so Campbell, you wanted to have the last word. Go
yes.
for it, and then we'll go to closed session.
Yes, Madam Chair, I think that this I'm very disappointed in the way that the committee is addressing this issue, and I think that someone could be left with an impression of some kind of improper action that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, but the way that it's been presented is, I think, prejudicial. I think that there should be no actions contemplated or recommendations made in closed session or open as a result of the kind of discussion that we had, unless it is approved by the General Counsel of the Foundation. I think that anything else that is undertaken would be out of order and would be prejudicial. Thank you very much.
Okay, with that, folks, I will see you all on the other side. And for anybody on the stream, good night, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.